All right. Well, Kufar Akbar, everybody, welcome back to the Cross and the Crescent Discussion Group. This is a blog talk radio show and YouTube stream dedicated rightly dividing the truth between Christianity and Islam. We are here. We are back. Yes, we are back. We are going to live here once a week now instead of being here on Sunday afternoons and on Tuesday evenings. We're going to only be doing this on Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. And I see the chat is filling up. It's going gangbusters, so I appreciate seeing everybody back there commenting already. What we want to do is I think we want to start with a short prayer, opening the show back up and getting us back on our way. Paul, I'll ask Paul earlier to do his head. All right, well, amen. Yeah, it is indeed great to be back together. You know, you miss this after, you know, you do this for how many years we were doing it, and then you take a break, and you just, I don't know, kind of miss it. But you know, I figured something out that was very important. You cannot believe how much time you have on your hands if you're in the stream 4 or 5 hours a week, having to prepare for it all the time. You can do all kinds of other things, and I have been up to some business here lately. I've been having a good time doing it, but it's crazy. I just one day just coin and said, "Hey, I'm just tired of these guys, and I'm gonna run out of here." I've been writing. I'm doing some writing. I've actually got a counsel from Paul and read on this, and I have been pretty busy especially the last couple of weeks writing. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be looking at some of that if we get to it. But it's therapeutic, is what I think it is. It's almost as therapeutic as coming in here and having these discussions with one another, going back and forth. You'd be surprised how much you don't know when you start reading all the sources, and you're just like, well, wait a second, why are they making the argument again when their own people are saying the same exact thing that we're saying, and they're saying, oh, no, it's crazy. What we see here, I just got the Skype comment. Yeah, it's frustrating trying to carry on a conversation with somebody. Oh, speaking of conversations. Elita Britannica, yeah, all those are well, what I've, you know, I don't put a lot of trust and faith in Wikipedia. Everything on Wikipedia, I'll read what the person said, but I always go to that they cite and try to pull that up and see if what they're saying here is credible. And it's pretty amazing how accurate a lot of those sources are. You do catch them sometimes trying to eisegete, if that's a proper word, trying to interpret something into a text or into a point. But for the most part, Wiki, I don't want to say they're 100%, but you can get some ideas from them anyway. Okay, so what happened? Let's go ahead and give you a brief rundown on what happened. Why I popped off the air? What day was that? September 13th was the last time we were here. That's been 4 months. Let's see, October, November, December, January. Yeah, almost 4 months since we've been on here. And I'll tell you what happened. That day, that evening, it was a Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. During the show, I'm getting messages on my Facebook or my email with screenshots of Facebook pages, of my Facebook page, of my wife's Facebook page, of my son's Facebook page, of my daughter's Facebook page, and pictures from them. somebody obviously figured out who the Kaffir was. You know, Rad and I had been talking about that, saying, oh, we're coming to get you fired. We're going to be right there. And all of this bloviating. And I said, you know, I'm really, I almost wish these guys would figure it out and come get the Kaffir. And I think they, yeah. Statement. I would use the word crying, but I was asking Sam to ask. No. I'm not saying it at all. What I'm saying is that I wouldn't categorize it as crying. But anyway, complaining. That was when Kenny said it was, oh, this is what started back up with Charles, when Kenny said he thought it was okay for Hamas to indiscriminately fire rockets into Israel. And we were watching one of his live streams, and I just posted in the chat, look and see how the imam does not define what terrorism is. And that's when it all started. That's when World War whatever, that's when this entire renewed attempt to come out, come dox me and all that started. Like you said, it just kind of died off at the end of the summer, and nothing came about of it until August on Clubhouse, of all places, when retired. No. Retired. Make sure we get. There's a lot. Yeah, there was some other things. There was a conversation on Clubhouse where he was upset about a icon that Danny Davis had used when he was talking about Hadith. The Hadith dealt with Muhammad prescribing camel urine for people to drink as a form of an elixir or something to make them feel better. So Danny posts this picture of somebody holding a camel, and Charles thinking, I was not going to use any names. I defended Danny over, and that's why he decided to fight me. And then war going back and forth, or little argument going back and forth on the messenger of Clubhouse, and he said I was threatening his minor children and all this other stuff. So this is where he started. Well, we did a whole show on it. It's on the calling. So let me just go forward from there. But If it was in Chicago, the tax alone was more than a dollar on the chips. Just saying. That's extortion up there. We were at Subway. We're sitting. This is what we're doing. Hold on, just a second. We're sitting. My wife, the queen, is running a marathon up there. That's why we went up there to begin with. And so the day of the race, Rad and I hook up, and this is where you see that one video. We're riding scooters back and forth in downtown Chicago, and there's nobody on the street, and we're just having a good old time. But we're sitting in Subway, and the people are outside the Subway running and yelling and screaming because, it's a fun day to be out watching the marathon. And we're sitting here trying to figure out on our phone how to do this YouTube thing. Anyway, it was classic. Let me just take this out here. We're never going to get going. But finish it up. Wrap it up. 30 seconds. 30 seconds to wrap it up. I'm gonna get to it. I just make sure everything. Right. Let's just. Okay. Wow. He said a lot, and I didn't get a word in anyways. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood what was happening. So what this was, is this is a veiled threat to the Queen, my kids, my church. He had the image of my church and the school teacher. And so this to all those soup agencies and stuff, this is what's going on. Is there anything that I can do? And we stepped, provided some advice, and I'm going to go into that. Let's see here. He's also emailed the school board in the district that I work at. Everybody got an email from him. The director of schools got an email, a couple of them. He did, right. And here's what this came shaking down. I prepared a letter. It was actually not a letter. It was like a packet, demonstrating to them who these people were. And what they had intended to do, and the threat that they had made. The one that I have from Marshall, Nadawa, is literally that thick. The number of emails that I printed up that he has sent to me, and the one from Mom out of Houston is not quite that as thick, but it's pretty extensive also. And essentially all I did was I said, look, this is what these guys are doing, and this is why they're doing it. They disagree with my position on Islam. They believe that since I am a public school teacher, I do not have any right, and there must be some form of district policy out there that prohibits a public school teacher from providing a critique or criticism of somebody's religious faith. And if they do that, I'm just telling you what their justification was. Is if they do this, they are potentially going to hurt the feet of the kids that I teach and not protect their civil rights as students. That was their, from my understanding, what their complaint was. The problem with this, and this is where I went out and I sought counsel. I got with the union representative. Is that I'm a tenured teacher, and being a tenured teacher means that you have all kinds of additional protections when it comes to protecting your job and charges being filed against you. There's not a lot, but there are additional steps and hurdles that need to be made, meaning that the district not just arbitrarily dismiss me as a teacher because they want to. They said, maybe you're warming up the standard or you're going to let go. That can't happen. The second thing is that I'm a level five teacher. Now, there are five levels. Level one is level five is the highest, and you are awarded these levels, or you are rated at these levels based on three things. Number one, your performance in the classroom. You're observed. They come out and they observe you in your classroom, and you get a rating for that. The environment, the learning environment that you create within the classroom. And then lastly, and I would say most importantly, the standardized tests in the state has a lot to it. And the bottom line is that my students perform, they grade it off of how many years of growth that you get. For like if you are a one, you would not have any growth. You would probably have negative growth. If you're a level three, you would probably have 1 year of growth in social studies and in a 1 year period. And then for a level five, four or five, you have to show at least 2 years of growth. The years that I teach, I normally show, just give you an idea, and I'm not tooting my own horn here, but I am tooting my own horn. I actually show between five and six levels of growth for a student on their knowledge in social studies itself, on the standardized test. So I'm a very effective teacher. So that when I'm talking to the union rep, he said, look, dude, you're tenured and you're very effective. And more importantly, these charges that they're settling against you, you have to have evidence for this. You have to have some form of evidence demonstrating that you're doing these things that they're charging you with. You cannot stop somebody from speaking their mind on religion. Matters. This is not a freedom of speech in the First Amendment, but it's also freedom of religion from the First Amendment also. That can't happen. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I really didn't worry about the job thing after that. But again, you worry about the six, what about your back? What about the kids? What about the house? You know, they know they have the home address, they have the home phone number, they have all those things. So I was concerned about that. My wife was most certainly concerned about that. My children were most certainly concerned about that. So that's what ultimately led to me stopping the show, is my concerns for the safety of my children, my family, not my job, and not me personally, but it was for them because they were very concerned. Well, as time has gone by and we've had more and more discussions about this, and I've received more and more emails, and I've showed it to them that, it's especially the ones from the line of Dawa, where she's talking about setting up protests in front of my school. And he says, we have all the permits to do that. And I'm thinking, how, you cannot protest. Right. Yeah. No, okay. Let me just refocus everything right here. Let me just focus everything here. Okay, so what I decided to do I decided to do the show again. A slightly different, and this is where we are never going to, I'm going to make a rule here. Are we all a rule? Thou shalt never, ever, ever again utter the names of individuals show again. Okay. I don't want to have anything to do with those gentlemen again. Ever again, if they email me, I'm just letting them know I'm going to delete it. If you have an issue with me, if you think that I am somehow violating a policy, a law, or anything from the school district, go tell the school district. I am not intimidated by your threats, and you go your way. How does that go? What does it say in the what is it? Yeah, but I mean the Quran. What do they say? To you be your religion, and to me, there you go. Okay, you go do. Right. Well, 920. Sure. Okay. So the bottom line here is that I don't care what they believe. I don't care what they have to say. They can threaten, send emails to my school saying, we're coming to get you. Go ahead. I'm just going to hit delete when I see it. If you're going to do something, just go ahead and do it. You're boring already. Yeah, and this is one of the avenues that they were taking, that they were contacting, they were posting on the school's, my school's Facebook page, using an alias, something McCoy, I can't remember what the name was, McCoy or something stupid anyway, and then link that to a video that that I had. So, you know, and fortunately, I told the person who manages the Facebook page, and I told her what was going on, and she's like, well, okay, you know, and she's, you know, she was like, oh, what are you talking about? And I said, well, this is what is going on. So she, if something like that happens, you know, she's aware of it, and will delete whatever messages that are bogus, like came up. Okay, so I want to get past that, and just start moving on down the road. And I see more people are showing up in chat. A whole bunch of old names that, let's just take a trip over to Fear Stan and take a look at an objection. And this is what I wanted to talk about, just to give you an idea of what the format for the show will be in the future. What we'll do is we'll take a look at a common Islamic objection to Christianity, and we'll run through it and make sure that people completely understand how fallacious it is, because the majority of them that they do make this repeated regurgitation, like, where in the Bible does Jesus say, I'm God, worship me? And, you know, there's all kinds of different ways that we can answer that, and that's why we have a panel here, and we can answer it. You know, my favorite way is the David Wood way, and just say it's in the NGL next to where it says that Jesus lived a sinless life and was born a virgin. So if you go to the NGL, it's right there, don't you see? Which the NGL doesn't exist. Nobody's ever mentioned the NGL. But, yeah, that's even a better point. Because everybody from that's a Christian recognizes Jesus as being God. I had this Clubhouse thing, Connie, is, and Darcy, is toxic. Yeah. Because we get into, you have some of the I don't know, some of the most dynamic discussions. We were discussing, what was that we just said? I got off topic. What we were just saying, that worship, don't worship. I am God, don't worship me, and you come up with all these other comments or ways to address. Yeah, and you know, some of the things that people say in there and they come up with, just crazy. But it's addictive, because you can sit there and listen to other people, and you can sit there and listen to it passively, also, which I do the majority of the time. I just kind of, when I'm listening, I'll tune in, I'll listen, and then I can do something else. It's a nice platform to get on. You can make some really good friends there, too. Okay, so handle common objections. And the second thing is to provide polemic against whether it's the Quran, Muhammad, or one of the practices that we find in the Hadith, or things of that nature. So just kind of twofold, keep it simple, do an apologetic, and then do a polemic. And the apologetic, of course, we know is defending the Christian faith. So what I've done, just like I always do, is, and we've done this one, we did this one about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, I can't remember, but the common objections that we get for our faith, and I'm going to share my screen, let me see if I remember how to do this, share, cinema layout, is that it? No, that's not it. Okay. What? What the? Okay.
Okay, how do I?
Okay, so I have forgotten how to share my screen. What do I do here? Do I hit present? Yeah. How can you forget? The button that actually says share screen. Okay. All right. That was like... Good. There we go. My line. Okay. All right. Common Islamic objections. Again, number one, we don't know who wrote the Gospels. Number two, Gospel writers were anonymous. And number three, there are no surviving originals. So let's go through all three of these objections, and we're going to go through this, provide a real quick answer, and then I want to get down to the details, or I should say in the weeds. Okay, so the bottom line is, one, if we do know who wrote the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, John, and the reason why that they're not attributed to anybody else. If they were attributed to somebody else, am I lacking contribution to the Gospels? The second, we have the testimony of the early who wrote the Gospels. And lastly, we have evidence in the Gospels themselves indicate who wrote them. And we'll talk about that more as we go. Now, I think we have you guys seen this before? I think you guys, and we have Mr. Connie. Look at Connie did right over here.
I'll bring up my. There's my highlighter.
Okay. Well, he was a follower of John. He was one of John's disciples. So look at this chart here. Of course, you have Jesus Christ at the top. And then Paul, who, I'm going to say that because this is another objection. Paul never met Jesus. Yes. Paul met Jesus because it was a actual physical encounter. Excuse me. And then we have who is one of the disciples. We have one who's another one of the prominent disciples. Now, down below here, we have our early church fathers. We have writings from the example. Clement of Rome knew Paul. Did Paul die? Well, Paul died was in Rome when he was in prison in Rome. And Peter, do we know that Peter went to Rome? Yes, we do. Peter went to Rome too. So Clement also knew. Peter was aware of what their teachings were. And Clement, at the death of Paul and Peter, became the bishop of the church in Rome. Now, John is more prolific. John has a disciple, Polycarp, prolifically about what John taught him. He also has by the name of Ignatius and wrote prolifically. Now, the thing with this is none of his writings survive, none of his original writings survive. However, we know what he wrote, or much of it, by what we find in the writings of other church fathers that quoted him. For example, Eusebius quotes him extensively. He wrote a large volume set of things of Christ. So John taught three main people here who turn passed that knowledge on to additional people. For example, Polycarp passed to Irenaeus. Irenaeus passed on to Hippolytus. Hippolytus had people that we can't fit on this chart here, but Irenaeus also put on Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr passed on to Tatian. Tatian, as we know, wrote the Diatessaron, and then he knew to Alexander. So we have what we call a chain. We don't have a chain of narration, folks. We have a chain of custody when it comes to when who wrote the Gospels. So let's look at what Clement of Rome, or who he was, as I said. Well, I did because okay, let me put more emphasis on that. In Islam, they have a chain narration, of course. They have the isnads, as Rabbi mentioned, that say that such and such said, that such and such said, that such and such said, that said that Muhammad said, da 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 da, or Muhammad did such and such, such thing. They have that chain narration. What we have in Christianity is a chain of custody of writing. So we have a chain of custody of writings attributing the Gospels to who the Gospels are attributed to. Let me get back to this. Let me do this right there. Okay. You got to get used to a little slow. And as you can see, he died in 99. Paul and Peter were martyred around 64, 65, 66 AD, depending on which historian to talk to about that. But he is mentioned by Aeneas and Trellian as the Bishop of Rome. Was death in 99 AD. He could consider the first apostolic father of the church, and he was one of the first three with Polycarp and Ignatius of Antioch that is fitted with providing this chain of custody from the disciples himself. He became a leader in Rome after Peter and Paul, and he basically taught what they taught. So you have an apostolic line of succession. Now, let me make sure we understand this teaching, what they were taught. If you go to Galatians, if you go to the book of Galatians, people ask, well, where did Paul get his gospel? He's the one that, you know, corrupted the gospel. If you look in the book of Galatians, it tells you where Paul got his gospel. He got it from the disciples. And just as Paul got his revelations from the disciples, Clement of Rome got his from Peter, who gave it to Clement of Rome, or we could say Peter gave it to Paul, and then Paul gave it to Clement. We have a first hand source there. So they were taught what was taught in the early church by the apostolic father, or by the disciples of Christ. Okay, so when we look at what John taught, now all of this comes, this is not my original work, this comes from Christianity. If you guys don't know Warner Wallace, I would encourage you to go over to his website and read a couple of his books, watch a couple of his videos, read a couple of his articles. He does absolutely great work. He used to be a police detective, I believe, in Los Angeles, where he would work cold cases, where he would go in and try to find evidence for these cases and prove the innocence or guilt of somebody. Okay, so our early church fathers, when we get over to John, is paid. Polycarp and Ignatius. These are the three main students of the gospel of the Apostle John. Papias, of course, you can see by his acre, lived contemporaneous with John, and he was probably, what do we say, 6 years old when Peter was martyred, but we all know that John lived much longer than Peter. He was a hearer of John, be called a hearer of John. He's a companion of Polycarp. He became the bishop of Hierapolis in what is now in Turkey. And he was familiar with the oral testimonies of the early accounts of Christ. And, you know, people start talking about, well, the isnads on the oral tradition of Muhammad. And this is why we have all these hadiths. So the Quran was passed on using oral traditions. Well, what makes you think that in the first century, they did not have oral traditions? Either. I mean, that's just a great question to throw out there. They did have oral traditions, and people were able to retain great amounts of knowledge orally. And second to think, if you think of the fact, what are you doing? Sounds like you're sipping tea in ice at the same time. So he's a movie star. I didn't realize that. All right, I'll pull it up when we get to show and take a look-see at it. Okay, so the bottom line is that here we have a guy that... Who was that? Are you drinking tea, Paul, with ice or thinner? Okay, all right. Okay, where was I? So he has, we have the early testimony from the disciples. He writes the interpretation of the sayings of the Lord, and he's quoted by Eusebius. There it was. Okay, that's what it was. What Jesus said from John. And his work, I said, is quoted by Eusebius and alludes to many of the gospel passages and stories. Make sure we understand how we find. Because here, the already when you say that, well, we mean we don't have anything that Papias wrote? Well, how can you that? Well, that's a good question. It's a good question. If you know how history is done, because a lot of the things that we find in history that we know about people from history, we don't have no sources. We don't have any of their original work. We have people quote from them, not their entire works. And that is all when we're establishing historical fact. Now, does that become less reliable than other historical facts? Yeah, sure. It's true. But when it corroborates, not contradicts, but corroborates other historical facts, we know for sure that they can trust it. So that's why when we start talking about Eusebius quoting from Papias, Papias being a disciple of John, who was a disciple of Christ, we can pretty much find the validity. Anybody have that? Anything they want at once? Yeah, we can. I knew there was one of those that called him a first-rate historian. Yeah, next Sunday, as a matter of fact, next Sunday, which in the class that I teach at church, we're going to start the Book of Acts. And we just spent like 2 years. But there's so much there. So I'm hoping it's going to go a little bit faster with the Book of Acts. But when we talk about Luke and his accuracy that he described, I'm thinking it's probably going to be a while. So, and it's always, just to tell you, it's always funner. Word funner. It doesn't matter if it's a word or not. It's always more fun to teach something than to sit in a class and learn it. Because when you teach, you actually have to go learn it first, and you have to learn it at a depth of discussion much greater than what, you know, you would be just sitting there taking it in. And that's why I love, you know, teaching Sunday school, because it requires you to dig much deeper than what you normally would. It's just you're just doing like a personal study on something. And, so it was like, oh man, there is, and you know that, you know, sometimes you skip a week, you do something else, and you know it wasn't like we would do it every week, but when you get down, yeah, and the thing is that we would go, you're generally by the time it's all been done, last 45 minutes, and those 45 minutes, you know, we're having discussion for, so you don't only get 30 minutes of instruction, but. I'm looking forward to going through Acts and the Acts of the Apostles after the death of Christ. All right. Anything else to add to that in the chat? Let me think for a couple of minutes, I think. That, well, no, not from Jesus. No, from the apostles. It's in chapter 2. So it's in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. Was a horse. I don't know what that crazy name, but anyway, look at the last word he uses in his letter. I don't know. I'm going to the word sometimes. Well, if you look at his epistles, lagging when I'm talking, or is that me? Is on my because I'm all right. I wish my question was better, but edge. Okay, let me. I'm going to sign out and come right back. I don't know. How do I get up? Let's see. I'm not ending the show. I'm just leaving the show, okay? Just